This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Yo, D.I., did you check out any of the games on the NFL this weekend?
Oh, hell yeah. You know, football is back, and we're back to seeing Mahomes slinging beautiful balls all over the field. And your friends at Manscaped are here to help you sling your beautiful balls all season long. With Manscaped's state-of-the-art tech, we'll have your weapon looking more loaded than the AFC West. Football may be rough,
tremendous,
but your balls care doesn't have to be with Manscaped. Join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code K100. Meet the best valued bundle yet for the Manscaped Pocket Rockets, the Platinum Package. At quarterback, the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, a wily vet who makes sure the unit is running smooth and scoring nonstop. With proprietary advanced skin safe technology, the Lawnmower limits mistakes and protects the ball. Plus, it's waterproof, so the weather conditions are no issue, like the Bears and 49ers were this past week. At running back, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, built to bust through all the right holes. A hairless nostril just helps to keep a nose for the end zone. On the offensive line, we have our unsung heroes, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reliever Ball Toner, the Trent Williams and Corey Linsley of Sack Protection, standing strong to keep your boys fresh and clean through all four quarters. At wideout, the cleanest duo in the league, the Ultra Premium Body Wash and Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo Plus Conditioner. With their rugged scent, they attract both the ball and the ladies in the crowd. Plus, these two leave your skin and scalp feeling more hydrated. That means more plays on the field and less water breaks. At tight end, the product that makes your end look tight, Manscaped's anti-chafing boxer briefs. A dedicated jewel pouch to increase ball handling, a cool, steady vibe thanks to their moisture-wicking fabric. On defense, there's only one thing you need. The aluminum-free ultra-premium deodorant. You could use that, Joe. With refined cologne-quality fragrance, it keeps sweat and locker room scents from making any ground. Plus, it dries clear, so the opponent won't even know what hit him. And to top it all off, we throw the best coach in the league, the Shed Travel Bag, my favorite, as a free bonus. Built to hold the team together, this travel-sized bag has a fumble-resistant zipper. This has got to be a Super Bowl-winning roster, but don't take my word for it. Go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code K100. That's 20% off with free shipping at Manscaped when you use the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's M-A-N-S-E-A-P-E-D.com for turning your player into an MVP.
And the great thing about this is the shaver is aerodynamic. The boxers are 100%, we all agree on this, the most comfortable boxers that we've ever worn. They've got a leather pouch, not some cheap pleather. And you can use it. Now, they're saying it's just for your nether regions, but you can use it under your arms, your chest, you know, your face, your head. Women can use it. So this is a great product. It's our best-selling product. And it brings, you know, anti-chafing, deodorant, you know, nose trimmer, ear trimmer. It's really a hell of a deal.
Let's not understate that Manscaped Weed Whacker to take care of your nose and ear hair, because there's not a bigger turnoff for a potential partner than your nose hair sticking out in their face. So take care of that.
Yeah, from Mr. Groom himself.
Oh, look at him.
Yeah, very, very unkempt individual. You could probably use it more. Sure. But anyways, I will say this. This is our best-selling product. Support the show. Check it out. Keep your shit clean and trim and groomed. And you can get it all at manscaped.com. Boom. Yo, we're back with another episode of K100 Talks. What's today's topic, D.I.?
I want to talk about this guy, this Sarver guy, this Phoenix Suns owner that basically has been suspended for a year and fined $10 million by the NBA after investigation to racism and misogyny in the organization. Right. So let me read this. Okay. On October 30, 2016, at Talking Stick Resort Arena in downtown Phoenix, Earl Watson, just his third game as the Suns head coach, faced a tall task: beat the powerhouse Golden State Warriors. The young Phoenix Suns team had been toiling at the bottom of the NBA standings for years, missing the playoffs for six straight seasons while churning through head coaches. Watson was the fourth in as many years, and still the Suns were playing the eventual NBA champions close, even leading by 13 in the first half, but didn't last. The Warriors took control in the fourth quarter and cemented a 106-100 win, dropping the Suns to 0-3. After the loss, Suns majority owner Robert Sarver entered the coach's locker room, Watson told ESPN. You know, why does Draymond Green get to run up the court and say, and I'm not going to say the word, but he says the N-word, Sarver, who is white, allegedly said, repeating the N-word several times in a row. You can't say that, Watson, who is black and Hispanic, told Sarver. Why, Sarver replied, Draymond Green says the N-word. And Watson said, you can't effing say that. The anecdote offers a glimpse into the conduct, sources told ESPN. Sarver has often exhibited since buying the Suns in 2004. Interviews with more than 70 former and current Suns employees throughout Sarver's 17-year career described a toxic and sometimes hostile workplace under Sarver. Some told ESPN that he's used racially insensitive language repeatedly in the office. Employees recounting conduct they felt was inappropriate and misogynistic, including Sarver once passing around a picture of his wife in a bikini to employees and speaking about times his wife performed oral sex on. Some said the longtime owner fostered an environment in which employees felt they were his property, even once asking one woman whether he owned her to determine whether she worked for the Suns. The level of misogyny and racism is beyond the pale, said one Suns co-owner said about Sarver. It's embarrassing as an owner. Said a former Suns basketball executive, there's literally nothing you could tell me about him from a misogynistic or race standpoint that would surprise me. Through his legal team, Sarver denied using racial insensitive language. I've never called anyone or group of people the N-word, referred to anyone or any group of people by the N-word, either verbally or in writing. I don't use that word. It is abhorrent, ugly, and denigrating, and against everything I believe in. Sarver did acknowledge and use the word once many years ago. On one occasion, a player used the N-word to describe the importance of having each other's back, Sarver said through his attorneys. I responded by saying, I wouldn't say the N-word. I would say that we're in a foxhole together. An assistant coach approached me a short time after and told me I shouldn't say the word, even if I were quoting someone else. I immediately apologized and haven't said it ever again. The N-word has never been a part of my vocabulary. In the case of the October 13, 30, 2016 game against the Warriors, Sarver and his lawyers wrote that Sarver did not have that conversation with Watson, but had one with a Suns player who'd received a technical foul for what they said was using the N-word during the game. Sarver said he encouraged the player to appeal the technical foul because Green had used the word in the game. The technical foul was later rescinded by the league. Sarver denied using Watson's characterization of the incident. It's absolutely untrue. I remember the game and topic clearly. I, of course, never used the word myself. During this conversation, I said, quote, N-word. And he's not saying thing. He's saying I said N-word and not using the other word without saying the full word. The word itself never crossed my lips. Let me be crystal clear. I never once suggested on that night or ever that I should be able to say the N-word because a player or a black person uses it. The player, through his agent, told ESPN that he thinks using the N-word might have contributed to the technical foul, but does not recall speaking to Sarver that night. Watson told ESPN there was no player in the room when Sarver made the comment. Multiple current and former employees also told ESPN about conduct by other members of the Suns leadership team that they felt contributed to a toxic and sometimes hostile work environment. Now, again, Joe, look up this Sarver guy in Wikipedia. Let me know how old this guy is and where he's from, okay? While none said Sarver was involved in those incidents, many felt that Sarver's own conduct...
He's 60 years old and he's from Tucson.
He's from Tucson, okay. So he's a Southwest 60-year-old guy, okay. Well, he looks a lot older. I'm 54. That guy looks old, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You see his picture? Yeah. So ESPN had also asked Sarver on multiple occasions to be interviewed about his tenure in Phoenix, and ESPN also sent Sarver and the Suns organization written questions. The outreach has spurred a flurry of activity. Some of it was public. On October 22nd, Sarver and the Suns sent three statements to ESPN and tweeted versions of them, denying any improper behavior, and Sarver also hired a law firm, which ultimately sent four letters to ESPN's legal department. In addition to Sarver, ESPN reached out to its other Suns employees, including general manager James Jones, who issued a one-sentence statement. None of what's been said describes the Robert Sarver I know, respect, and like. It just doesn't. Jason Rowley, president and CEO of the Suns, defended Sarver. The story is completely outrageous and false. It doesn't represent at all the Robert Sarver I've worked alongside for 15 years. He's not a racist, and he's not a sexist.
Who says this?
This is Jason Rowley, president and CEO. He's the president and CEO of the Suns, okay? NBA spokesperson Mike Bass said the league has not received a complaint of misconduct at the Suns organization through any of our processes, including our confidential workplace misconduct hotline or other correspondence. NBPA executive director Michelle Roberts said she was not aware of any reports from players of misconduct by Sarver or Suns. Apart from Chris Paul and James Jones, we've not had much official contact with the team and none that I can think of with Sarver. Current and former Suns employees told ESPN that Sarver is known to say he is, quote, brutal to work for, a line he has repeated over the years, even in job interviews. Sarver told executives they were, quote, paid a lot of money to put up with my shit. If the commissioner comes in and investigates to see what the F is going on in Phoenix, when current business operations employee told ESPN, he would be appalled. All right. There were warnings. What do you think about this so far? Okay, I wasn't really following the story when it happened, right? But just right off the bat, what we have here is how in the year 2022, there's been a lot of cultural changes in the past 20 to 30 years in America, and some of the older guys probably have not adapted very well, right? What do you think about this so far, Cody?
Well, that's no longer an excuse, bro. You know, society sets mores and rules, and social media has its rules, and we know what the rules are. And if your excuse is going to be, well, I come from, that's how they used to do it back in my day, that doesn't hold water anymore. You know, you should be accountable for your fucking actions, and because you're old doesn't give you a fucking pass.
Well,
you
know? what if the actions were in the past and now we're...
Doesn't seem like these were in the past. These were right now.
Okay. A recruiting pitch was set for the start of pre-agency among Sarver and others. Attendees included Nash's agent Bill Duffy and 2003 Rookie of the Year Amari Stoudemire, both of whom are black. Three people in the room told ESPN that during the meeting, Sarver made a comment that they felt was racially insensitive. They cannot recall the specifics, but they said he too loosely used the term black guy during the conversation. Ultimately, the Suns got their target, but we signed Steve Nash despite Robert, said a basketball executive who's there. Sarver's lawyers told ESPN the anecdote was too vague and happened too long ago to address specifically, but they did note that nothing racially inappropriate was said and that 73% of NBA players in 2004 were black. This is a long time ago. Thus, those conversations would have referenced black men, Sarver, they said, was integral to signing Nash. It was one of the first instances where Sarver's conduct raised questions among employees. At least half a dozen staffers recounted to ESPN instances of Sarver hearing a story from a black player and then using the same language when retelling it, down to the usage of the N-word. You're like, whoa, Robert, you can't do that, said one former basketball executive. Another Suns head coach said such instances were commonplace. A black basketball operations staffer told ESPN he's heard Sarver say the N-word multiple times. Sarver once used the N-word when trying to explain to his staffer why he preferred hiring Lindsey Hunter over Dan Marley as head coach in 2013, according to a high-level executive who heard the remark. Hunter was a first-year Suns player developmental coordinator with Marley, was in his fifth year as a Suns assistant coach. These N-words need an N-word, Sarver told the staff of his largely black team, according to the executive. Sarver again cited race as the reason the team needed to hire Watson as head coach in 2016, a former basketball executive said. A young black coach would better relate to black players, Sarver reasoned, and could speak their language. That's a quote. Through their legal representation, Sarver denied the allegation about Hunter, saying he never used the N-word and never used words to that effect, and said race was never discovered during Watson's hiring process. Like right off the bat, I could tell this guy's probably used the word. but like used it so flippantly, he probably never thought it was a big deal. Like, are you getting that from this so far?
No.
Okay, what are you getting from it so far?
That he's a fucking idiot. Because if you're being told by society, if you're being told in movies, if you're being told by comedians, if you're being told by African Americans, don't fucking use that word. We don't appreciate it in any vein, any fucking form or fashion. Don't use the fucking word. That's all there is to it. You know, and if you're going to insist on using it, then you're a fucking jackass and whatever you got coming to you. And here's the other thing. You know, LeBron James, he isn't just fucking, you know, a great basketball player. He's like a global ambassador for NBA and a fucking mainstream celebrity. He buried him. And another thing, this really caught my eye. And that's why when I see shit like, for example, I'll give you an example. You know, this shit that happened with Bill Cosby or you see this a lot when a whole bunch of women will pile up on a guy and then, you know, the guy's like, oh, like Deshaun Watson, you know, like, oh, I'm innocent. You know, and you're thinking to yourself, if you are innocent, how much of a dick are you that 15 women decided to collude and bury you? Because they're not going to do that to a nice guy. Now, Chris Paul has a little bit more weight than LeBron James for me. And I'll tell you why, because he was the president of the NBA Players Association for like 7 years. And he works for the Phoenix Suns. And he was the correct person to throw him a lifeline. And he did. And he buried him. So when you have your own employee not going out there to make the save for you, that tells me something.
Contract talks eventually led to Bledsoe's Clutch Sports agent Rich Paul to communicate directly with Sarver. The Suns owner didn't want to extend Bledsoe's contract in part due to concerns about Bledsoe's durability, plus concerns that the team had performed poorly with him as a starting point guard. According to sources at the time, Paul responded to Sarver's remarks by saying that he knew basketball and that they weren't talking about tennis, such Sarver's childhood sport. Sarver erupted at the dig, according to two people with knowledge of the interaction, telling Paul he was going to fire Watson as team's coach if Watson didn't sever ties with Clutch, which had been representing Watson within 10 days, just after the start of the season. Watson said that Sarver's ultimatum quickly reached him. He asked Sarver if he was serious. "Yes, I will effing fire you," Sarver told Watson. "You've 10 days to think about it. Don't wait too long." Watson said he explained to Sarver the optics of a white owner asking a black coach to fire an agency led by a black agent, Paul. "Yeah, I understand what race you two are," Sarver replied, according to Watson. "So I'm asking you, how bad do you want your job?" Watson said he told Sarver that he wasn't going to fire Clutch. "You can do whatever you want," Watson said he told Sarver. "You own this team, but my culture is not for sale, and I'm not for sale." Through legal presentation, Sarver said his issue with Clutch was solely due to a conflict of interest, that a coach and player could not be represented by the same agent. Sarver denied that the conversation had anything to do with race. Watson, when told of Sarver's response, said, "Rich Paul was there, my agent. Watson was represented by Clutch Sports, was owned by Paul. Guess who did my contract when I got hired to be a head coach with Clutch?" Watson said, "If Clutch did my contract, wouldn't the Suns have just told me? We can't sign you because of conflict of interest. They did my interim contract and they did my other contract. They did do two contracts for me." The Suns lost their first two games of the season by a combined 92 points, and Watson's final game as a head coach was a 130-88 loss to the Clippers. Sarver fired him the next day. "It's almost like an ownership thing," Watson told ESPN. "He wants people to call him and beg him." In Watson's first year leading the bench in Phoenix, Sarver asked about the state of the organization where Watson thought it would improve. Watson told Sarver that it suffered from a lack of diversity. "I don't like diversity," Sarver replied, according to Watson, a basketball operations staff with knowledge of the situation. Sarver said to Watson that having a diverse staff made it hard for people to agree. "A lack of diversity among the organization's highest ranks was an issue that a number of employees voiced to their superiors, including Sarver," multiple employees said. "Everybody knows that our diversity here is shit," one current business employee said. Through legal representation, the Suns said the organization has a long history of prioritizing racial diversity since Sarver purchased their ownership. The Suns said they have filled executive-level VP positions across the organization with people from underrepresented backgrounds, adding that the Suns and Mercury employ black people more than three times the rate of their demographic representation in Maricopa County. They also point out that six of their last 10 head coaches were black, including the current head coach Monty Williams and GM James Jones. These men were hired because they were the best applicants to fill their positions. Watson said one of his final interactions with Sarver was explaining how Watson believed the owner's outburst negatively affected every aspect of the franchise, from the player's performance on the court to the coach's ability to do their jobs. During Sarver's tenure, the Suns have cycled through 9 head coaches and 8 general managers. "I said, the only common denominator is you," Watson recalled. "The cemetery runs deep of coaches, GMs, and players. You're the common thread. It's you." Watson said Sarver told him that he was toxic and that the Suns were toxic because of him. Sarver screamed back, "You're effing toxic." Through his legal representative, Sarver said one of the reasons we parted ways with Mr. Watson was because of the toxic work environment and his leadership during his tenure as head coach. "There's an incredible amount of conflict on the team between Mr. Watson and the front office. I don't specifically remember using the quote refer, but during the conversation, I did use colorful language. It did refer to Mr. Watson's tactic. General Manager James Jones says on multiple occasions, I observed Earl engage in behavior, use language that was extremely unprofessional, offensive, that does not align with who we are. So it gets into I'm going to just read a couple of things here.
Don't read anymore. This is kind of getting long, boring, and repetitive. Yeah.
I think we've heard enough. Okay, I had never heard any, I was not following the story at all. So right. I'm actually reading this to you. I'm hearing it for the first time, but the fallout.
But we get the gist, right.
And plus, you show, the guy's making comments to girls and stuff in the workplace and stuff and that, I can see that. But one of the things they said was that one of the things he was fired for, he because he yells and cusses at employees. And I'm like, is that
he's not fired. He's not fired, dude. No. He's suspended for a year.
Suspended. Now, the difference. So here's what I want to talk about. He's never, nobody can confirm, nobody's ever said that he's called people the N-word. He just uses the word when in discussions of people say, you can't use that word. That just, it's common sense. You just don't say that word, right? And his thing is, he's steadfast. And basically saying he didn't do anything wrong. And he is basically saying, I apologize for everything, but I didn't do anything wrong. I think this is one of these situations, bro. It's you got your 60-year-old guy, kind of you're older, rich, probably a prick, and stuff like that. Just doesn't understand, and very set in his ways, owns a team, has a lot of money and thinks it's, but very elitist attitude towards do you think that's what this is all about? Probably
a lot of it. Yeah. Because you see a lot of rich people, they think, rules don't apply to them.
Right.
They get away with shit that other people don't get away with. And like he said, I pay you to put up with my shit. So his mentality is you're getting paid. Shut the fuck up. Right.
Who else do you see like that? That just got kind of, you see a lot of these people in society now, kind of being, kind of cast out. Like Vince McMahon.
Yeah. So So he's got that mentality. Plus, bro, it doesn't, it's got to raise eyebrows when the guy says, I don't like diversity.
Right.
Dude, you're in the most multicultural era in the history of our country and you're not into diversity. You live in Arizona and you're not seeing that, one fourth of your population is fucking Hispanic and that your team is more than half of it is black. I mean, how did you become a billionaire? So the thing is, these guys, what happens is a lot of these rich guys, you're mostly white older guys, but they think the rules don't apply to them. They live in a different type of lifestyle, and they're not in tune with what's happening and they think they can get away with shit. And in today's culture, and especially you're seeing, especially the youth of today, you can say whatever they want, but they're not going to take a lot of shit. And they're like, okay, my parents took shit. Their parents took shit. We're not going to take shit. That's why you see weird shit like that. Quiet quitting that I actually thought meant quitting a job, but
I've never heard that term. What is that?
That's when you go to work and you do just what's
expected. The minimum amount.
Not even the minimum. What is expected, but never above and beyond. Right.
Right.
So by not going above, by not showing up 15 minutes early, by not taking on extra assignments that you don't have to,
right?
It's called
AKA
quiet quitting.
Joe Feeney's work schedule.
Fucking, why do you think I say the article?
Basically, what happens is that, these guys, they're in there and they're before we'd be like, I worked overtime and I'm coming early to work and I'm going to eat during my lunch break. And, that's how kind of we were raised,
right?
And so this generation is fuck all that. We ain't putting in any extra. 9 to 5, all right, we're getting in at 9 and we're checking out at 4:59,
Right.
And that's all. And you've got this new generation where they don't want to work at fucking McDonald's. They don't want to work at Burger King. They're like, fuck all that. We're not going to bus tables. And they're having trouble filling those fucking things. So it's a different generation, bro. It is. There's a generational change. And these old cats who just think that life is going to stay the same forever, how they grew up, and that, social mores don't apply to them, they're fucking sadly mistaken. And I think that, You know, because a lot of people, they're saying, okay, well, how come you fired Donald Sterling, which is the same thing I'm thinking. Why did you fire Donald Sterling but not this jack off? And I also think that why LeBron and Chris Paul and a lot of these brothers are going up against him, because I think they actually think, really, dude, we just went through the George Floyd thing. We just went through protests. We've gone through all this bullshit, and you're still out there doing shit like this. And it isn't just the N-word. The motherfucker showing, you know, dick pics and his wife giving him oral sex. That's fucking – you don't do that in any Fortune 500 company. You'd fucking be fired. So, yeah, this, I think the one-year $10 million suspension is very light, and I think he should be – The team should be taken away from him.
He's going to go.
I'm not defending people. I want to get right. You know, that's a perspective, right?
Right.
And I think what the thing is here is, like, let's look at it just from another perspective. Okay, is they're trying to paint a bigger picture of this guy, right? Like, it's okay, because when racism is thrown out there, it immediately becomes polarizing. People shoot shies and everything. Okay, I would say this, just not even in his defense, but from a perspective point. If you want to paint this guy as a racist, bro, it's like, why is this guy even involved in the NBA?
Well, forget that he's a racist. He's just, how about this, just being a fucking dumbass and doing shit that's improper. That's good enough for me.
Right.
Fuck the racial overtones and using that as a thing. You know, it's hard to prove racism nowadays because it's so subtle nowadays, unless you're some fucking jack off from Clarksville or some guy that don't give a fuck and goes out there and, you know, you're dumb enough to expose yourself and all the consequences you're going to. He's, you know what I'm saying? But still, it's just, you know, they had a year investigation, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says here to answer the question about why is he on the team? He had a lifelong quest to own an NBA team. He went through the University of Arizona.
He bought it. Well, how else would he get it?
Well, the University of Arizona basketball coach Lou Dolson referred him to Steve Kerr. And Steve Kerr actually assisted in getting him in with the Suns for him to buy a piece of it, which is interesting because Kerr's, you know,
he's
has left wing. And
Dude, that's the thing. They act like a guy's going around everywhere going, hey, N-word.
Right.
You know, oh, I never heard him say it around me. Well, yeah, motherfucker. You know, he doesn't have to be saying it 24/7.
Right.
You know, and it's like, we all have different faces. There's a, you know, we have a face that only our girlfriends see, or our wives see, or our moms see, or our best friends see, or our inner circle see. The face that we put on when we go out in the streets, or you're trying to negotiate. We have different, like, layers to us, you know? You're not going to go around saying that everywhere. But he said it enough times that he's now getting heat for it.
Okay, but here's one thing I would choose, and one thing I would also say, too, though. Punishment.
What would you do? Okay, what would you do? You seem to think they shouldn't take the team.
No. Well, I don't. Because my thing is crime and punishment.
They're gonna have to.
So now it's like we're judging him by we're setting standards and we're judging the guy by him, right? And we're setting a penalty. And okay, my question is: this is a guy that's paying the employees. All right. Now, what would the punishment be for an employee that gets paid that had similar action like this? Would that person be fired, or would that person be suspended and stuff like that and be allowed back? It's like, what's the death penalty for actions? That's my question.
But one guy's an employee, one guy's an executive owner. You know, there's a big difference, dude. You know,
I think
there is. One guy's a leader, one guy's, you know, can fucking, you know, is paying you and can fire you based on biases, and if he's not treating you right, and if you're coming to work and he's asking women, do they own him and they feel uncomfortable? The guy's fucking, you know, he's
okay. But here's
okay. Do you, I just, even if you weren't to take the team away from him, which I would, but okay, if you weren't, do you think 1 year and $10 million is enough?
I don't. That's the thing. I mean, best thing, but that's us judging. Because Michael, I'll ask you this question: say an employee did this, okay? Not only so, what the punishment is, it's like the similar punishment. Okay, is not only are you like if you're taking the guy's team away, right? I would say the equivalent of the punishment would say if you're an employee and you did.
So if you had an employee,
you're fired. You violated an ethics policy.
No. But my thing is, it's equivalent to me of firing the employee and taking the person's house away.
No.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, well, where's fair punishment and judgment when you're talking about taking something away from somebody who owns something, opposed to finding them and saying, okay, you can't be around the team. Okay. You can only
let me just say this.
That's my question.
If I'm the NBA commissioner, I don't want that type of guy owning a team.
Yeah.
Bottom line, I fire him and I find somebody else to take his place. Yeah. My position.
And if you're the Suns,
Adam Silver said he's no legal authority to do that. That's another
fuck
issue.
Adam he's Silver. Have some balls and do something. If you're the fucking commissioner,
if you're the Suns,
he reminds me of Goodell. You know, they get up, paid all this fucking money, and they always avoid all the hard shit.
Yeah. Right. If you're the Suns, you're going to have to get rid of him because PayPal's a major sponsor for the team. They have a patch on the jersey. They integrated PayPal into their arena's payment options and shit like that. And the CEO of PayPal has said, our sponsorship with the Suns is set to expire at the end of the current season. In light of the findings of the NBA's investigation, we will not renew our sponsorship should Robert Sarver remain involved with the Suns organization after a suspension. He's going to cost them millions. They're not going to keep him. He's got to go. He's
now,
a problem.
Now we're getting... Now we're getting into mob justice, which I'm not a fan. That's my
point. Why is that mob justice? Why isn't it just another company saying we don't want to work with some fucking racial fucking misogynistic jackass?
Yeah,
because they're the ones judging him now, not the NBA.
Well, they have every right to. They're investing money in a fucking team, and they don't want to be associated with a jack off like that. So yeah, I agree with PayPal.
If the pussy NBA commissioner isn't going to do anything about it, the Suns are going to have to make him do one of those voluntary resignations and say you got to go, dude.
One of the minority owners is already coming out saying that he should just he needs to leave the team.
He's got
to
go.
You know what I'm saying?
So you got the minority owner. You got Chris Paul who works for the fucking Suns. Who is the fucking president of the NBA Association, not throwing him a lifeline whatsoever. This guy's cooked, dude.
Okay. But I'm saying, but the thing is...
I would fire him. Okay, you wouldn't.
He's got to go.
No, I don't know what I would do.
Right. What would you do? Okay, then I'm asking you, what would you do? You've got to make a decision. You're Adam Silver. You've got to make a decision. What would you do?
I would always say this, okay, when it comes to making decisions like this. May he who is without sin cast the first stone.
All right, that's a nice saying. What would you do?
I'm saying, I don't know. Who am I to judge somebody?
Because you're the fucking commissioner.
Yeah.
Okay, but
make a fucking decision. Are you firing him or not?
What if you're a fellow?
I don't want to hear Bible quotes.
What if you're a fellow owner of the team, Di? You're a fellow owner of the team, and he's costing you a giant sponsorship just by his presence. You want him gone.
Okay, but I don't know. Dispo
says he wouldn't fire him. What would you do?
maybe way more than $10 million, and that doesn't seem like a lot at all. You know what I'm saying? Like if this this guy's net worth.
So 1 year, like only 1 year, and more
so
money.
Something that makes an amount of money that makes it uncomfortable to lose would be the best. Here's a part. Like Michael Jordan used to play people in golf. And people would ask him, you always have to gamble. He said, what do you want to play for? And Michael Jordan said, whatever makes you uncomfortable.
Right.
It's like, so it's like, bro, like I'm saying, $10 million, this guy's nothing. He's got to be away from the team and everything. I would find the guy a significant amount of money based on his net worth that would make him uncomfortable, that it is actually a significant loss.
Maybe that's not.
That's how I would do that. In my personal opinion, that's what I would do.
Maybe that
I would
goes...
not give people. I would not give people the death penalty because you're constantly lowering the standards for what you know, when you lose everything. I can't judge people like that. Whether you should lose everything, you know what I'm saying? Which I don't, because then I would have to be judged by that, and it's like. For stuff like that,
well, you're not losing anything. You're getting paid for it. It ain't like you're giving it away.
But for other people that think I'm a jerk, okay, and they're telling you, and I don't think I did something wrong, but I don't think it was that bad. It's like I don't want to judge other people like that. That's my point. Yeah.
Well, I just think that if you have the fucking privilege of owning an NBA basketball team, you should your conduct should be. Beyond reproach. I'm not saying you need to fucking go to church every day and help people fucking, wash people's feet on the street and shit. But this shit that he's doing, that doesn't fly in today's culture.
Okay, let me ask you this. We have a very similar situation judges against. What if you're an owner, okay, and you are a part of Vladimir Putin's inner circle and helping him, build his staff and his cabinet? And you own a soccer team, and Vladimir Putin has declared war against another country and attacked them. That guy lost his team. Would you compare that to this to that?
No.
So, okay, so that's what I'm saying. So we have death penalty for one owner because he's in with Putin, and Putin's attacking another country and killing people, and we have here guy flippantly, you know, improperly being a jackass and using the N-word when he shouldn't. Would the death penalty be equal in both of these situations? Both of these guys should lose their teams. That's where I would say no way. I would say, but this guy does deserve a significant financial loss, something that makes him uncomfortable, and it's a loss. Because, bro, when you're building – these guys are so rich that, like, $10 million is absolutely nothing to this guy. I mean, bro, how about – that's less than Vince McMahon paid off girls, right? If you think about it, right?
Not by much. Seriously,
it is, right? Yeah, I mean, like, you know, so
I – No, bro, I think I Vince – well, Vince went up to, like, $16 million now. Vince went over,
yeah. Think about that, yeah. You know? Like, so $10 million, that's not even as much as Vince McMahon paid off chicks with.
Yeah.
So I would say find this guy way more than that.
Well,
it would be my thing.
Between, you know? Between the money he's going to cost him if he stays on, now you got the NBPA executive director, Tamika Tremaglio, saying, speaking on behalf of NBA players, she calls for a
– You like how Joe read up on this subject so he wouldn't fall behind? Go ahead.
She you notice all of us are supporting our teams today with our hats, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
She calls for a lifetime ban of Robert Sarver. We're absolutely calling for the lifetime ban. We do not want him to be in a position where he is managing or engaging with individuals who are engaging with our players or the players themselves.
Who said this?
NBPA executive director, Tamika Tremaglio.
What is NBPA? What is that?
National Basketball Players Association. Yeah. We're absolutely clear from the findings that are in the report that we do not want him to be in that position. So now you're in a position where the players don't want him either. Now, if you're another owner of the Suns and he comes back after a year and your players are like, I'm not taking the court if this motherfucker's an owner. Dude, he's got to go. He's too much of a problem.
Then we have mob justice's rule then, you know? So
that's not mob justice, but I would get rid of the motherfucker and I'd find somebody that knows how to act like a fucking leader and an owner, and it isn't sending around dick pics and making life fucking miserable and using the N-word when they shouldn't use it. Should not be used by, especially by older white guys whatsoever.
All right, that's been our
K100 Talks. What do you think about our debate? Send your thoughts to the mailbag at K100 Question. What is it?
K100Questions@gmail.com.
Gmail.com. All right. Thank you very much for supporting K100 Talks, and we will see you next week with another topic on K100 Talks. Boom.